Raf?
Latin. Okay. Okay, use the mic for now, is it? Brilliant. Good. So this morning when I saw these like floods going on everywhere, I was, is God telling me to change my character to Noah's Ark? So I think, no, maybe not. So great being here this evening and have this wonderful privilege, I believe, to be here and just to share something that God put into my heart. I think for the last few weeks, we've been looking at different characters in the Bible. And if I'm not wrong, today we're doing the fourth one. Yeah, there? So the first one, I think, was with Pete, talking about Pete. No? Where's the first one then? Gareth talk about Pete. Yeah, Gareth talk about you. And then we had Paul. And then last week we had Andrew. Is that right? Very good. So it's the fourth today. Good. Before I just, as Peter just mentioned, I'm going to talk about Barnabas. But before I move on to our next character, do I need that mic thing or not really? He's dead. He's dead. Dead. Okay, brilliant. I don't want to be in here all the time like that, so okay, let's try that. That's my distance. Brilliant. Okay. And I'll start my timing. Brilliant. Before I start, I want to ask you a question. And the question is, do you know the meaning of your name? Okay? Maybe for some of you, you're going to say, never thought about it, Raf. Or maybe you may even go, I don't really care. So, but maybe you're like, oh, interesting, actually. Personally, I really believe that there is somehow, there is something very special in the meaning of your name. Maybe you know the meaning of your name, and it's not a very good one, so we can pray for you at the end. And it's not my fault because I didn't give you your name. So blame your mom and dad, your nun, whatever. So, but my name is wonderful. Raphael means God's healing. So, it's not bad for a start. So, I picked some of you guys from the church, of your names, and here's the meaning for your name. Whoa. So, let's go. Let's try the first one. Claire. Claire's going to cheat because the answer is going to be there, and she can see the answer. So, but Claire, what's the meaning for your name? Do you know? Bright. Here you go. Let's check. So, bright or clear. That's the meaning for Claire. So, Joanna is Joe. So Joe just texted me yesterday, Raf, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be in the service. And so, fun enough, I was going to mention your name in the church, and the meaning for Joe's name is this: grace or gift of God. So I did text to her, I said, oh, thanks, Raf. I need a lot of grace at the moment, she said. That's nice and easy one. Peter, you are? No, that's not that one. Rock. Oh, stone, yeah? Nigel! Where's Nigel? Nigel, what's the meaning for your name? Do you know? No. The meaning is either champion or passionate. That's a good one, isn't it? Catherine! I have tune here. Oh, ish. Catherine, you are? Very good. Very similar to Claire one, which is pure or clean. Very good. Move on. Next one, very quick. Sammy is not here today. Sammy is here. I've got to find an interesting name. Sammy, you are God heard. Very interesting. Brandon. Where's Brandon? Oh, it's went out. Oh, here you go. So, Brandon, you are Beacon Hill. That's a very... Mikey boy, that's you. Who is like God? Very special, isn't it? Ellie, you are God is my light. Anna, Anna's a special, Anna. Anna, you got three. You got three, one, and it's really cool. Anna is favor, grace, or beautiful. It's one or the other. You need to pick one. Okay? And the last one is Jessica. Jess, you are gift of God's beholds. Molly, is Molly here? Molly's here, yeah. Molly, you are little pearl. Oh, how cute is that? Lovely. Teresa, you are a harvester. Very good one. Rian, very good one as well. You are a princess, a great princess or queen. Very good. And of course, my lovely wife. She is Little Rose. Very good. I was going to share a funny story, okay, to you, but I won't anymore. Because I shared this story to my lovely wife, and she didn't laugh. She didn't even like, huh? Was just like blank. So, if you are really interested about my, you know, funny story, I can tell you afterward, okay? I'm not going to share now. But basically, how do you feel when someone comes to you and tell you or say to you some encouraging words? How your soul and how your spirit, how your heart, how you feel when someone goes to you and says, like, well done, keep going, oh, brilliant the other day. How do you feel about those compliments? Yeah, how do we feel about them? And I think one of the best ways that I was just thinking for us to explain was about, we all, most of us, driving here, and I don't know if you've been in this situation before, but you're driving somewhere and you stop your car and you go back to your car and you have a flat battery. Yeah, you can go nowhere. And you're just stuck and upset and you're angry. And basically, normally, it's a very simple way to fix that. You find a friend, get those like jump leads, and then connect your batteries from your, you know, fully charged battery from your car, linked to your friend's car, literally seconds normally, your car works straight away and off you go, carry on in your life. And really can see that's exactly the same in a Christian life. Many times, we may feel you can be in church, you can be doing God's will and doing a lot of things, but sometimes you feel like a flat battery. You just feel like, God, I'm in the church, I'm doing this, I'm involved in the house group and all that, but I'm just there. Until someone's like, God just spoke to me. I want to say this to you. Or from nowhere, just like, how are you doing? I hope you have a lovely day today, a brilliant day. God bless you. Those are words that encourage someone, that you kind of like recharge that person's battery. And very recently, that happened to me. Not that my batteries was too low, but the words I had from these special people were very, very special to me. Last Christmas, I had this lovely Christmas card from someone very special in my life. Wasn't from Roisin. She's very special, but wasn't from Roisin. Was from my young people. Okay? I had this lovely Christmas card from my young people. I'm not going to read all of them. But as I was reading them, I was like, gosh. You know, they're just like, yeah, normal life, everything's good. But then these words of encouraging words come to you and just like, whoa, yes, come on, let's keep going. So, and I'm just going to read some of them. Yeah, I'm not going to read their names because they probably know them anyway, but I'm not going to read their names. But this is the first one. Raphael, thank you for all the support over the years. I can honestly say that sometimes you've been the only reason I've managed to pull through. Thank you for all the good times. Thank you for always, that's someone else. Thank you for always putting a smile on my face. May God bless you and your family. Thank you for everything you do for us. We really appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Remember, love always wins. Another one, hope you have a wonderful time. Thank you for always making me laugh. There you go. I'm a clown, probably. Merry Christmas. You're always so funny and always put a smile on my face. And you do so much for us, and I'm really thankful. Last one, thank you for always putting in a lot of effort with us youth. I don't know about you, but when I read those words, they're not words that make me feel like, get in there, Raf, you are the guy. Not at all. They words that just like, is that jump lead? Like, Raf, God called you to something. And come on, son, it's more to come, but you are touching people's lives. And as I read, and I'll skip that, because they are words of encouragement that will recharge your batteries in circumstances that you come in life, yeah? This evening, we are going to be sharing about Barnabas and how wonderful and encouraged he was. Claire, one thing you probably didn't know, that his actual name, Courtney, wasn't Barnabas. His name was? Yeah, it's not a trick question, guys. It's over there, yeah? His name was Joseph, all right? But this guy, okay, was so good, encouraged people so much that the apostle said, mate, well, Joseph is cool, but we have a better name for you. Give a nickname. And the nickname was Barnabas, okay? Because Barnabas means son of encouragement, son of consolation, son of exaltation, or son of comfort. Okay, that's what means Barnabas. So the apostles were there with this guy, yeah, Joseph, and it's like, this guy is good, isn't it? And remember, we're going to talk about this in a minute, encouragement in one of the gifts of the Spirit, yeah? I know that you talk about, you know, prophecy, teaching, they're all brilliant. But don't forget, one of them is encouragement. It's a wonderful gift to have. Be able to come to someone like, come on, let's go for it. Let's do it. Keep going. Yeah? So today we are going to be talking about Barnabas. But I cannot start sharing a little bit about Barnabas without sharing about the guy that Barnabas was following. The one who was the most... the best one in sharing and delivering some encouragement to people. And his name was Jesus. Yeah? So Jesus was the main guy. The Bible doesn't really say if Barnabas met Jesus physically, but it was actually about the same time. Definitely, Barnabas heard about Jesus. And I do believe that he was... Later on, yeah, that's after Jesus went to heaven in Acts. And Barnabas was just like, oh, about Jesus. Yeah, I remember when he did that. Oh, yeah, I'm following his step. I'm looking at Jesus. And I want to reflect from the master. I want a bit of that reflection in me. And I just want to share some of the two stories from when we see Jesus himself encouraging people with some wonderful words. And I strongly believe that Barnabas was following Jesus' step. Of course, he has Paul and the other apostles, the other disciples, whatever. But the main guy that he wanted to please and want to be like was Jesus himself. And the first story is this, that you probably know. Just keep going. Jump that. I said that already. And next, here you go. And the first one is this. Basically, was an officer. There is some scriptures that says I forgot his name now. No, it's not an officer. It's another word now. A centurion. Yeah, that's the one. And basically, one of his servants wasn't feeling too well. So Jesus goes and says, I will go and heal him. And the officers answered, Lord, I'm not good enough for you to come into my house. All you need to do is command that my servant be healed, and he will be healed. I myself am a man under the authority of other men, and I have soldiers under my command. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. I tell another soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do it, do this, and my servant obey me. Now, have a look of Jesus' answer to the disciples, to that man. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Let's just stop that. Jesus was amazed what this guy said. For Jesus himself being amazed at what you say is cool already. So Jesus said, he said to those who were with him, I tell you the truth, this man has more faith than any other person I have found, even in Israel. I don't know about you guys, but I believe that officer felt like very encouraged, didn't he? He's like, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus just said that my faith is like it's up there compared to them, even the disciples. So, of course, Jesus wasn't putting the disciples like in second class, but he was encouraging that officer. He was encouraging that man, mate, your faith is unbelievable. Carry on. And really believe that officer. As he went home, we know the end of the story, that he has got home. At the same time that Jesus said, be healed, his servant was healed. And as that officer was going home, I really believe that he was like, what lovely words from Jesus that encouraged my heart. I have a wonderful faith. And that man went home with that encouraged word from Jesus. There is another story that you know very well. Is when Peter go and ask to those around him, who do people say I am? And from verse 14, they answer, some people say that you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. And others say you are Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked them, and who do you say I am? Peter straight away. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's my picture of Jesus asking this question. And then Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes like, whoa, Peter. And then Jesus answered, you are blessed. That's encouraging words. You are blessed, Peter. No person taught you this. My Father in heaven showed you who I am. So I tell you, you are Peter, and I will build my church on this rock. Do one more encouraging word from Jesus in this. Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, through what you just said, for the words that came from your mouth, I will build my church, and we are the church. Jesus is just encouraging Peter. Peter, well done, mate, you got it. And for what you just prophesied, what you just said, I'm going to build my church. Jesus himself, he was a guy ready, always ready to encourage his people. And I said, I do believe that Barnabas heard about this story and heard about these things that Jesus did and the wonderful guy he was. And he said, you know what, I want to be like this guy. I want to follow his step. I want to fight for him. And what I would like to go through now is points from the life of Barnabas that some of them you probably know already. Maybe some of them you don't know yet. So Barnabas, okay? A little bit about him. First thing is this. I said already. Yes, thank you, Claire. That wasn't his name, yeah? That was his nickname. And I could maybe ask you this evening, what is your nickname? What people call you out there? Yeah? Is people say, like, I want to be his friend. Oh, he's honest. Hey, I can trust him, yeah? Or that guy, that's no good example. So they changed from Joseph to Barnabas because that guy was walking the right way. He wasn't perfect. Don't take me wrong. You're not perfect. But he was trying his best so much that the apostle had to change his name. And if I ask us today, what is the nickname? What people calling us out there? Yeah. Another point is that Barnabas was a Levite. And he lived in Cyprus, a Levite, because of when you talk about the tribes of Israel, he was from the tribe of the Levi, so he was just from that descendant. Number three, because of our time, that's really, really good. That's the first time that we hear about this, the actual name Barnabas in the Bible, is when a lot of people decided to sell whatever they had, the fields and houses, and they would give the money and put at the disciples' feet so they could carry on to do doing his ministry, yeah? His calling and sharing the good news. But fun enough, for some reason, a lot of people were doing this. They were selling their fields, they were selling their things and get the money and give it to the apostles. Like, guys, God bless you. Carry on. Share the good news. But for some reason, mention Barnabas. Barnabas goes and sell the field, his own, and then he give the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. Why he didn't mention the other people, I don't know. Why he mentioned Barnabas, I don't know. But his name is mentioned. Sometimes I really believe that God, for some reason, it's not that he's going to pick you are better than those people, but something I really believe he has some specific calling for each one of us. And sometimes he you maybe mention your name or you maybe you ask to do something that's not going to ask others. In this passage, for some reason, he mentioned the name Barnabas. And then, and Paul later on as well did mention that Barnabas wasn't just like a one-off kind of guy. Barnabas was actually helping Paul in his ministry as he was, going in his journey. So he didn't have to ask the church, guys, I'm going to this mission now. Can you help me out? Barnabas was like, I sort it out. Come on. Let me encourage you. Financially or in prayer or in words, I want to help you, Paul. Number four is one of my favorite ones about Barnabas. We know the story of Paul, that he was persecuting the Christians and killing them and being horrible to the Christians until in the road of Damascus he meets Jesus, yeah? And he had that amazing encounter with Jesus. And in an amazing way, Paul transformed his heart from Saul to Paul and he's a new man. And now Paul is going around sharing the good news, really excited. And he goes to Jerusalem and say, oh, hi guys, hi apostles, how are we doing? I'm on fire as well. Let's go and tell everyone that Jesus is amazing. He can change our hearts. He can change our souls. He's brilliant. So then these apostles look at Paul and go like, don't know you're talking about, mate. You're not coming with us. You're not your friends. You're killing all these Christians. You come here now and say, do I want to support you? No chance. But then Barnabas step in. The son of encouragement comes and step in and say like, apostles, listen here now. To be honest, I don't think I like Paul. Yeah? But it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the good news. It's about the gospel. So and then Barnabas comes and introduce Paul into this group of people. Say, guys, Paul had a wonderful encounter with Jesus. He's one of ours now. He's on our boat now. Don't look at the past. Yeah? Don't look at the past, but look what God did in his life. And let's move on. And then after that wonderful speech, if you want to say, from Barnabas, the other apostles introduce and let Paul be part of it. They're not a part of the Barnabas story. He was a wonderful preacher. He went to many different places, especially when he went to Antioch. He had a wonderful experience now with the church, with the people there. And there was the place when he had his first calling. So Paul and Barnabas felt really from the Holy Spirit to go on a mission together. Number six, Barnabas and Paul start to work together and they had a really important part to play in history, which was about helping the Jewish people and the Gentiles. Yeah, we are Gentiles too. Guys, Jesus didn't die on the cross just for you guys. He died for all of us. Let's keep together. Let's walk in unity. And Paul and Barnabas together, God really used them to go and walk with the Gentile and the Jews so they can have a wonderful relationship together. Number seven, as I said, Barnabas wasn't perfect. And at one point, he had this agreement, a bit of like an argument with Paul. And the reason was because they want to take Mark, which was Barnabas' cousin. But Paul wasn't very happy about it. and said, no, sorry, Mark's not coming with us because he left us before. I don't want him to come with us. So, and at that point is when Barnabas and Mark start his carrying on with their ministry, and Paul went to a different way, still doing God's will. And that's really good for us to know, because I believe we're all different. Yeah, you're not going to agree all the time, but one thing you cannot do is stop doing God's will. But at the end of Paul's life, we hear that Paul says, and to be honest, Mark was very useful to me when we work together. So it's once again, you see that the point that maybe Barnabas was to make, that don't look at the past of Mark. I know that maybe left you behind, Paul. I know that maybe he didn't what you thought was the right to do, but forget about the past. Let's move on. And at the end, Paul will acknowledge about Mark and Paul. And the last one is just that what a wonderful example. Barnabas left tremendous legacy. Of all the above facts prove Barnabas to be a strong man of faith, and that left a lasting legacy and stored up for himself a lucrative inheritance in heaven. Whatever you're doing here, guys, that is the best prize is going to be when in heaven with Christ. Very quick now, I just want to move on. As was just said, encouragement is one of the gifts that God is given to us. It's a gift, it's ours for free. And it's up to us to accept this gift or not. And you can see that in Romans 12, when you see all the giftings that's available to each one of us, and each one of them are very important. But then verse 8 says, if one has the gift of encouraging others, he should encourage. And why not? Maybe you have a lot of gifts already, but why not ask God for this gift if you haven't had yet? Sometimes saying a word to someone, and that doesn't need to be face-to-face sometimes. It's really good if you can do that. A text, writing a card, an email, or whatever way, the way you act to people, you can be encouraging people, sometimes without knowing it. But God can give you that gift and can work in your life. I just want to finish by sharing a little bit about my life and the time that I really felt God encouraging me. Since I was very young, a teenager, I had a really, really low self-esteem. Everywhere I looked was like, oh, he's a great Christian. Oh, that guy. So I was just literally a young teenager in church following my mom and dad. I knew God was good and all those things. And I was brilliant, yeah? But no more than that, nothing special in me. I was just another one in the church. And as I went to the Bible college, that kind of feeling was always the same. As I looked around, I look at that guy. Oh, a lot of gift from the Spirit in him. Look down. Everything asking about the Bible, he knows everything. Oh, that girl over there, she doesn't stop praying. Open brackets. Those things are amazing. Keep on doing it, yeah? Please don't take me wrong. Praying, reading your Bible, go for it. You need it as a Christian. But I was looking around and like, I don't feel I'm like that. I know some things from the Bible. I pray as much I think I can, or I know I need to improve, but whatever. As I'm looking around, I always feel like I cannot do it. Everything that's happening in my life today, where I am today, I thought to be happening in my brother's life. My brother is 4 years younger than me, and he's the clever one of the family, yeah? So he was my English teacher. Yeah, he was like that. And I always felt like I'm the one going to be following mom and dad. And mom, dad, yeah, let's go for Jesus. Let's do. And that's good. But at one day, one of my teacher in the Bible college, I remember that clear. We having a class. And straight after the lesson, she said, let's have a time of prayer. And then she comes and she's praying, and the Holy Spirit, God, spoke to her heart, and she starts to prophesy to my life. And she goes like, Raphael, God sees you as David. I was like, oh, that's a big name in the Bible. That's a good one. Thank you, God. And sometimes you feel that you are the last one on the list. You may feel that you are the last choice on the list. Can you remember the story of David? And that's God speaking to her, and she's just talking to me. And I was like, can you remember when Samuel went to anoint a king for Israel? And he got to there, and then he speaks to Jesse, you say? And said, Jesse, where's your sons? And then he said, that's one, two, three, that's it, that's my son. And then Samuel goes like, it's not them. I didn't feel the Holy, it's not them. Do you have another one? So, oh yeah, we have David. He's looking after sheep. Go and bring him. Go and bring him. And as David gets into the house, the Holy Spirit comes into Samuel. And Samuel anointed David to be the future king of Israel. And that's why she's telling me these things. And she said, Raph, remember, God doesn't see how the man see. Because the man see the outside. I see the inside. I know how you feel. I know. But you're not the last one on the list. You may, in your eyes, you may feel like, now, and she said, I remember she's saying that, I'm not here to say that all the other children, all the other sons from Jesse didn't have any gift, didn't have any talents. They were not good enough. They were good, but not for what God asked them to do. And God has something specific for you to do, Raphael. He's looking at you as David, the chosen one to do something specific. And I was like, gosh, what a wonderful and powerful and encouraging word from God through that lady into my life. If I did not have those encouraging words from people like that and people like this, a Christian life becomes so hard. So I do really encourage you guys that if you don't have this gift from God in your life, why not ask them this evening? Ask God, God, how can you use my life to be someone with powerful word, encouraging word, word that you lift the spirit of people. People are going to feel like, you know, pumped up and like, let's go for it. Let's do it. So it's a wonderful gift to have. And why not ask God to have this gift today? Just before I finish, I promise now. Do you know this gentleman over here? Dr. S.M. Lockridge, I think that's his name. He was a pastor from the Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California. Every time I listen to one of his sermons, most of you probably you know the video I'm going to play to us now, really lift my spirit. When I see this guy talking, God is using him with those words. Every time I listen, just like, come on, Jesus, let's go for it. And I just like to play this video for you. Just for you to know that Barnabas was wonderful, the son of encouragement. But Jesus is telling you today, I can give those words. I can be the one that encourages you. Jesus can do that himself. God can do that himself. But can use each one of us to be the ones to encourage people. I would like you to listen to these wonderful words from this guy. And just remember that he is your king. Amen.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely eternally sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the great